your Uncle Frank, where would he have gone to school?
He had a school, yes, somewhere, but I don't know where he's over in, seemed to me like he had a school, over Georgia, Glen Lakes over in there, where the, it's over there, and, can't call it now.
Fanscrow.
Section, just, you go out of Clemson on college, on the other side of it, and go out that way, there's a school there. They had a school room there, and, I just don't know where they had a school in down or not. I never, don't remember, you ever talk about it.
There was one in Calhoun. It was down in the same building that was occupied by the Wesleyan Methodist Church.
Yeah.
There don't seem to be many records of any of
that. Yeah.
Did you ever go down there to the Wesleyan Methodist Church?
I used to go down there to Sunday school when we were little fellas.
What are you talking about down here?
Yeah, little church, we call it.
Yeah.
Methodist.
Yeah.
Did you go down there regularly?
Not regularly, but we'd go. Every now and then we'd go to Sunday school.
Back when I was little, Stuart man had a tent meeting right down here below us. Right down there, had a great big tent. And you know how they preached back in, fire and brimstone and hollering went on. That man scared me. That it was a long time before I'd ever scared to go back to a meeting.
Now, where exactly was the tent meeting?
Right down here below this, where that house sitting on the corner down here on Elm Street. Not the next to the next one. Last house on this side down.
So it was down facing the railroad tracks?
Yeah, they was, all that was a big opening in there, and that's where Preacher Stewart and 6 Miles once set that tent up down there, and they had it down there for about a week or two.
We attended, we go to the Baptist Church over here, that's where we, when we were little, got a little older, we go to the Baptist Church where we attended the Baptist Church over here called Clemson. All three of us joined the church back before we went overseas in World War II. We've been a member ever since.
Why did you happen to choose the Baptist church?
That's where my daddy and mama was members. That's where they joined.
But it sounds like at least they gave you a choice. They did. Of course you would have been.
Yeah. I remember when we were a little bitty fellas, why, if somebody come by and want us to go, with them, and there'd be four, five of us to go to that church down there. And Sunday to Sunday school, with this little fellow, 6, 7 years old. I remember that.
Now, the Sunday school, you were talking about the Wesleyan Church.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Did they have a bigger Sunday school program than the Baptists did?
I wasn't old enough to know too much about it back then, but they'd have prices, you know, like in any Sunday school, but they wouldn't. There wouldn't be no, they didn't have a lot of members, and there wasn't many of that. And as far as I can remember, the Sunday school I'd go down there, there wouldn't be old 15 children in the thing. School.
Do you remember any of the Sunday school teachers?
I don't remember the Lawrences and the I don't know where the John Lawrence's wife taught Sunday school when we went down there, not. It was mostly Lawrence and Newton. And they were Wesleyan Methodist. That's the one that was in charge of it. And they overseen the church and everything. They were the main people in the church.
We never did go down there much.
No, not much.
Oh. We always went to the Baptist church over here.
What was Charlie Lawrence's wife's name?
Layla.
And they lived on what's now the old 6 Mile Road, didn't they?
Yeah, that's over on, they call that back in, the old 6 Mile Road.
Anybody else who lived down that way?
Let's see.
Isaac Newton lived down in there. Isaac Newton.
I think he's in the houses on that road there, but that...
Charlie Lawrence, that's on across War Branch over there. Charlie Lawrence had a house over there on the right where Charlie Lawrence lived.
Well, that's what he's talking about.
Did any Newtons live here in town?
Let's Isaac lived in town. He's still living. I don't know where you talked to him.
Yeah, that man, he could tell you a whole lot. He's way older than we are, ain't he?
Where does he live?
I guess he lives over in, on this Daniel Highway, backwater. He moved from there. He used to live in there.
You go down Old Sister Road, like you're talking about it. No, you go down. Instead of going to the right there where Doctor lives, you just go right straight like you're going home. Before you get to home, Molly, and Richard, you cross the back lot over there, you turn right like you're going up to the radio station. And when you turn there, it's the first or second house on the left in there where Isaac Newton lived.
Let's go back one more minute to the tent meetings you were talking about. Did they draw people from all around here?
Yeah, they'd have that tent full every night.
What time of the year were the meetings?
It's always in the summertime.
So it must have been pretty warm.
Yeah.
So it got you physically prepared to hear about fire and brimstone.
Folks wasn't studying about hot weather back then like they do now, because there wasn't no air conditioning or nothing, and it didn't bother folks back then like it does now.
Well, if you went to church, you probably had some funeral home fans.
Yeah, everybody used them fans back then.
What about at the tent meeting? Did they have fans for you?
Yeah, all the women, they'd carry them with them. All the women used fans. You never hardly see a man use one, but most all the women would carry them fans with them.
Well, they had electricity back then.
But at least the hand fans. What about music? Did they have a piano or a choir?
They didn't have music like they have now back then. I recollect, I don't think they had even a piano down there, did they?
So at the tent meeting, it was all just preaching?
It
was. About how long would a service go on each evening?
About an hour.
Well, 2 or 3 hours down there.
Yeah, if they got somebody saved and all, they'd stay there with him. And sometimes them fellas would get passed out, and you know how they do. When they get in a trance, they'd lay there and shake. They'd just stay with them till they come back around.
Well, I gather as close as you were, even if you hadn't gone, you could hear through the windows.
That's right down there.
And you say the tent was pretty well full nearly every night.
That's right.
So they must have had 150,
200? Yeah, it's a pretty good sized tent. There'd be a lot of them that have to stand around, you know, kind of on the edge of it. All that happened back when I was 7, 8, 10 years old, but I can still remember.
So you said it scared you pretty well, too.
Yeah, it scared me, and it's a good while. Oh, I want to go back to hear somebody preach.
A lot of comment has been made, as you know, in recent years about evangelists raising money. Did the preachers at the tent meetings pass the baskets for offerings?
Best I can remember, they passed the hat. That's back in the day.
Did your parents go down there too?
Yeah, they both.
And to make sure I understand, was that on this side of the railroad tracks?
On
Pickett Street, it was right over there. Wasn't nothing down there but old field line.
So just south of your house, going on down to the railroad tracks.
Yeah, down the street.
So almost immediately next door.
That's right.
I don't know where that was. That house down there, George Pike. Was that house down there then? Seemed like it
was. I don't know. It might have been.
Dad bought this lot. We got the deed then, for $75, a half acre. What he paid for.
Where'd you buy from?
Boggs.
You know where that thing is?
I don't.
I thought you had it.
It's in one of them lock boxes that got my 4 or 5 Boggs' signature on it. We'll declare it. And all them Boggs back in had to sign it.
You said that most of the land in this immediate area was by W.A. Boggs?
Yeah. Boggs owned all this land in you, didn't he, Ray?
Is that Aaron you're talking about?
Well, this was Aaron Boggs, you said.
Yes,
who owned the land south of the railroad tracks?
I don't know. Jack Messer was the old
Sloan. Sloan owned that across the railroad that way, but talking about south would be back this way, wouldn't it? That way.
Down toward the college.
Well, that'd be Sloan. Sloan, that's Sloan owned all that land in that.
Same people that had Sloan's store?
Yeah, the Ken and the people before them. What are the other people that used to go by the Ken the Pool, wasn't it? They used to call it the Pool Land Company. Pool and Sloan's, wasn't it?
Yeah, they've got into that.
Pools was into it some way or another. It was Sloan's. I had got that.
Were the Poes from around here?
I just don't know what it was. I just remember what people would say. They owned it, the Sloan's and the Poes. And if you cross the river, I think the Dawes owned all that property west from here.
So they had a fair sized piece of property in the
city. Yeah, the Dawes, they owned a lot of land back if you cross the river and went back west from here.
Some of the other people who once owned land in your immediate area were the Barkers. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Tell me about those people, if you will. Which Barker family are you talking about first?
Well, the one that I know, the one of the oldest, I can't call his first name, but Jerry was his son, but he ran a blacksmith shop out here on the other side of, on that street going up College Avenue over here, and he actually crossed the underpass. Nice strolling house, he had a shop there, blacksmith shop. And he lived here a long time, Barker. The old man did, and his son, never did live in Calhoun much. He always lived out in the country. He had a son named Jerry. One of them, I don't know how many sons he had, but I remember him.
Somebody I've read about, but whose name I don't remember offhand, is a woman who was a blacksmith. Did you ever hear any stories about her?
No, never heard of that.
Were there any other blacksmiths around besides the Barkers?
Well, there wasn't nobody but
granddaddy.
My granddad and I, he was down a blacksmith shop, and that Barker man, he ran one right in town. And my granddaddy's shop was over at Clemson, what's called Clemson.
Where was it? On the campus, or?
No, his shop was right behind Plainskill Livery Stable, the back of it. That's where he had his shop.
Did he get business from Plainskills?
He didn't from everybody.
Plainskills didn't have his own blacksmith.
No, my granddad do all his shoeing, and holding the mules, and all that. And he used to shoe all Clemson College. They had a lot of mules and horses. They do all that. He sharpened plows and back then people weld with a hammer. They didn't have no acetylene or nothing.
About where was his shop? You say it was just near the delivery station.
Right directly behind it, Dad.
And where was the Barker one? You say it was over here in Calhoun?
Yeah, right over here on you. You go through on the path and start up the hill, right? About halfway up that hill is on the left. He had a shop there.
Where is that in relation to the church up here?
Let's see. The church, you come on up the top hill, and the church was there. His shop was between the underpass and where Page lived. And where Page lived.
It's between Crawford and Page, right out here.
That's Dennis Crawford you're talking about, or Leon Crawford.
Leon Crawford.
So it'd be even before you got to Calhoun Street?
Yeah, that's college.
Yeah, and on the same side of the street as the Leon Crawford house.
Yeah.
Well, I know there are a couple of general stores in town, and now we've got the Barker blacksmith. Any other shops or stores or services in town besides the post office?
Well, they had some stores over on the other side, what they call Clemson, back in and on in Calhoun. Major Allen used to run a store over that next across the street from Martin's drugstore. That's been a long time ago.
Came in John Martin.
Yeah, and my good shoe store over there.
Judge Keller.
Where was the Martin store?
It was right across the street from the Sloan building.
Where the Sloan is now.
Yeah, them Sloan buildings.
So it was what later became a jewelry store, and now it's a sporting goods store.
That's right.
Was it on the same level as it is now, or was it higher?
It was higher. I think that. It was a wooden building there, and it set up higher than the street. Oh, 8 or 10 feet, and they had steps going up into the store then.
It sounds like that discouraged people from going.
Yeah. And I don't know anybody else had any businesses yet back then.
One of the other people who lived in town was a man by the name of Miller. What did he do?
He was a friend.
Slim
and Joe and them
daddy. Yeah, that Miller fella, he owned the print shop. His daddy owned the print shop in Felton. They was well, back in, they was well thought of folks back in.
Well, did the people who work here, did the people who live here work at Felton, or did they have a print shop here in this area?
His son worked over here in the print shop in Thompson.
Well, the university?
Yeah, I worked over there.
Lynn Chambers, wasn't it?
The building belonged to the college, but Chambers rented the building, and after he got through, Tom Melvin took over, and he run the print office, the printing shop.
So it really wasn't a college business, but
it was a private enterprise, but on college property.
And apparently
got
a lot of college business.
Oh yeah, that's the main steel of it. They get college business. In the later years, Tom Milford moved out and then built his print shop, printing office, on the old Seneca Highway before you get to the backwater, going towards Seneca.
Well, is that the same Milford that became a pharmacist or somebody else in his family?
No, Dr. Milford was a medical doctor, and this Tom, called Tom Milford. I don't know whether he's relating to him or not.
I don't think he was.
I don't believe he was. Tom, he's a college graduate. He worked for Mr. Chambers in that office, printing office they called it back then.
Now he can tell you a whole lot.
Yeah, that's the man you want to talk to, that Tom Milford.
His place is, you know where his place is, don't you?
I've heard of it.
And then that right next to the dike down there.
That's where his business is.
Yeah, he still runs it.
One of the other fellows you mentioned earlier was Grant. What did he do?
We don't know. He was an
old man back when we were just a little bit of fellas.
And he's not too old to work. All he can do is walk in his house and store. I don't know how he made a living back then, but he's old.
Let's see, all of you would have gone to school at the Calhoun Clemson School just across the railroad tracks down here from.
Yeah, that's where we went to school.
How many years did you go to school there? 12 grades?
No, we didn't graduate. We dropped out. We dropped out about the 9th grade or the 8th and 9th.
Well, that's 11th grade.
Back then. And we dropped out and went to work. It wasn't long after we dropped out. We had to go into service. We got back out. We went back to school, trade school, government school.
Where'd you do that?
Pickens.
You went up to Pickens?
Yeah, we took a body tender course working on automobiles, and we had English and spelling and math and all that up there with that, and we learned more there I did, and I did when I was going over to school.
But you remember any particular teachers from down here at the school?
I remember Miss Edith Cooper. She taught the second grade. She hadn't been there too long, Laura Cooper and his wife. He taught the second grade, and Miss Morrison back then taught the fourth grade, I believe. I don't know who taught the third, do you?
Lady Adams.
Miss Adams.
Quincy Adams.
Miss
Seneca. She lived in Seneca.
Sarah May, Sarah Fitz. Taught the fourth grade, wasn't it?
Yeah, Miss Fitz. And Miss Fitz is a Clue, Major Clue's daughter. She taught over here a long time.
Ray, when you started the first grade, do you remember how many people there were in that class?
It must have been about 20 or 25.
And by the time you got up to about the ninth grade, were there as many?
Yeah, it's about 25, but it's taken away.
So mostly people, when they started first, stayed on to higher grades.
Yeah.
How long was the school day, if you remember that?
We know at 8:30. Get out about 1:30.
And that'd be the end of the school day. So you would come home for lunch?
We'd come home after school was out.
We'd carry lunch with us. We'd carry sauces and biscuits and things like that. And we didn't want to carry that. We're ashamed to carry that. When we get over there, all the children from Clemson had the sandwich made out of loaf bread, and all of them would want to swap with us. And we'd swap our sauces and biscuits and things like that for the peanut butter and loaf bread sandwich.
So all of you wound up being happy.
Yeah. We didn't have a bit of trouble. All of them was wanting that biscuit there.
Sounds
back
like
then.
A proverbial story about the grass being greener on the other side. Well, was there much distinction at the school between Calhoun and Clemson kids?
Well, the way I always figured it, we didn't get a good look at it. We called them professor children. Most of them were professor children come there.
You said you didn't?
We didn't get a good look in. They did.
How come?
I thought we was four, I guess.
People over there back then, as I was just said, four people.
Do you think the Clemson kids looked down on you?
I don't know whether they really did or not.
We always thought they did, but
did you and they wear pretty much the same clothes?
No, we didn't wear as nice clothes as they had. We wore old pants and things like that. All we had to wear back in, and times was hard. I can say one thing, even during the Depression and everything, that nobody ever went hungry in this house. We never did want for nothing to eat. And I've heard a lot of folks say that they went hungry back then. We always had plenty to eat, but we never did have fine clothes.
I didn't quite understand why you would carry your lunch to school if you got out at 1.
Well, we'd have recess along about, they'd break 30 or 40 minutes and all of them. Some of the children, when they eat lunch in school, they had a lunchroom down there.
Yeah, younguns
so
need
some of mid-morning or late morning.
Younguns want something to eat for back in when they play and went to school, while they get hungry.
Let me ask you some more things about when you were kids. One of the things I liked to do when I was a young child was to go down to the schoolyard, even though I didn't live here, and play on the slides and swings. Did they have equipment like that at school when you were children?
They didn't have anything like that.
No, I don't remember them having swings, anything like that when I was a kid going to school. Now they did put up basketball. Backboards and things where you could shoot. Later on, I remember that when I was going. During recess, we'd play soccer. You didn't have to have nothing to play soccer. We'd play soccer ball way back then. You know,
you had to have a ball, didn't you?
Yeah, they had a ball over at school out. We'd play soccer and then we'd play football, tag football at recess. That's the kind of sport we had.
And the school had a football and
yeah, somebody bring one with them to school and we'd have it.
The school has had a basketball team. Well, then we didn't have football.
No.
They didn't have a basketball
team. Basketball's all they had. We didn't have a baseball team or a football team.
That would have been an all boys team.
Yeah.
They had girls team too back then.
Basketball?
Yeah. I played 2 years on the basketball team when I was going to school.
Did you play all the other schools in this area?
Yeah, we played all of them. last year, before I dropped out, me and Paul Dan McGrawlin, we had cousins or two on the team, and beat everybody around him, went down the country to Columbia to play off the championship. We ran in and got beat down there. That team beat us and won the championship. But we were good back then. There was no question about it.
Well, what else did all of you do as children for fun?
We spent most of our time down on the railway.
Yeah, we got fishing.
We had boats.
Did you go down to the Seneca River?
Down to Kiwi, and right where Kiwi and Wellmont were.
We made our own boats and everything. We had a bull. We trained. My granddaddy made we got the yoke out there now, made a yoke for him. We had him trained. You could drive him just like a mule. And we made a wagon out of wheelbar wheels. And we'd hitch him up and we'd go around through town and every young and two. Town out there, tie their wagon on behind. When we get through out there, it'd be 10 or 15 wagons tied behind one another. Chairs be pulling.
Sounds like that made fun for a lot of other people too. Any other things you would do?
We spent the biggest part of our time swimming and fishing and playing and in the river. If we got big enough to learn how to swim, we'd get out of school or anything, right to the river we'd go.
With or without swimsuits?
Well, back then, nobody didn't have no swimsuit with it. They had no fabrics you wanted to most time. All of them just didn't have no clothes. If you went swimming, just take off your clothes and get it.
Was this then an all boys area?
Yeah, wasn't any girls or women that close to it.
Did the girls have a place where they went for swimming?
YMCA had a swimming pool over there.
College. All us boys and all, we put all our time in on the river, going up and down the river, pulling the boat, whatever we wanted to do.
John Long used to live down on the river down there all his life. He taught us how to cut white oak and make split
baskets.
And we can learn us how to make fish baskets and everything. And I can make a fish basket right now.
Who was John
Long? That's the Long that lived down on the river down here. That's Fox 12 Mile Kiwi River down here. It's a two-story house they built down there way back young when they had a sawmill down there.
The Longs had the sawmill?
No, they didn't have
that.
Whose sawmill was it?
Long the Southern Railway, wasn't it? When they built that trestle, they built that trestle, it's saw timber and all. The Southern Railway on that sawmill. Jim Long was telling you about it. His John's brothers and all, Wayman and Colin and what's the other name? Colin.
Harmon,
yeah, that's the one that Ben Robson used to go and play with, and they'd travel all over the rivers and the door place and everywhere. That's where he played, you know.
That book was Red Hill and Cotton. If you ain't never read it,
you ever read his book?
Months ago.
Yeah, he wrote several books.
Well, he had in there, he lived in Calhoun, you see, if you remember reading it.
That way.
Yeah, that's out Sloan Street, that's Calhoun.
Did John Long work for the college, or?
He didn't work nowhere. All the work he done is just what he had to work. He didn't get nothing by working. He cleaned the ditches. He cleaned the ditches out. Clean the ditches and cut the grass on the streets is about all I ever seen him do.
He'd hunt and fish and he'd
live off the land.
We're talking some about what you did for fun. What about work? Did you have too much work as young boys?
We never did have to work. But we were 17, 15, 17 year old, every summer we'd fly for Captain French Gale. See, he'd have mules and it'd be 20 or 30. He'd have 20 or 30 mules, and they'd have to have somebody to fly them mules. In the summertime, we'd fly them, fly up his fields with mules, and we'd make money that way.
He didn't have a tractor back then.
I know, there wasn't no tractor back then.
I was buying by the mules.
Do you remember how much he paid you?
50 cents a day.
So
he paid the older hand a dollar a day.
During this plowing work for Captain Clinkscales in the summer, was the first work any of you didn't get paid?
Yeah, I thought I was say that to be fair.
What about chores? Did you have family animals or the vegetable garden you had to help take care of?
We were growing up, we never did garden much. My mother garden all the time.
Didn't make you do it?
No, she'd do it all. She'd be a fool of trying to figure we'd tie it up, you know. All we're going to do is play it.
I was grown before I ever started doing any garden.
Did you do any hunting this chore?
Yeah.
That's all we done is rabbit hunting for years and years, and then we got started on bird hunting, and that was life. 30 years, that's all we've done is bird hunting.
How old were you when you first had a gun or could shoot?
We was 15, 16 years old.
But when you were younger, if you went hunting, you had to go with somebody.
Yeah, we'd go with a neighbor, somebody like that. Papa worked all the time, he didn't have time to hunt like that. We'd go with our neighbors and have 22s and all, and we'd go hunting that way.
We used to hunt with Charlie Bennett. Now he's furnished a rifle and cottage and everything.
Go with him a lot.
We thought